Whether the Packers are redeemed from their loss in the NFC Championship is up for debate. But whatever the case, they beat the Seattle Seahawks 27-17 on Sunday night and are now 2-0 on the season. To discuss yesterday's game, we welcome in Mike Heller, host of the Mike Heller Show, heard statewide in Wisconsin. It's all coming up on Railbird Central next. Good morning, Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central at 24/7 Sports and Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. We're talking about a Packers victory this morning, and to do that, we have a guest joining us on the phone right away.
Expert interview.
We have Mike Heller, host of the Mike Heller Show on the Big 1070, the Big 920, and other places. Mike, thank you for joining this morning. We're glad to have you on the show.
Thanks for having me.
I'm glad to turn the tables on you. I've been a guest on your show several times, and so now it's my turn to ask the questions.
Yeah, here we go.
All right. Just to start us off here, is all forgiven for last year's NFC Championship loss, Mike?
Well, no, I mean, you just can never forget that because it was you were within moments of playing in and trying to win another Super Bowl championship in Green Bay, and a Week 2 game doesn't make up for the missed opportunity, and that's exactly what that will always be, is a missed opportunity to get to a Super Bowl and a chance to win another Lombardi trophy. So, unfortunately, that will always be part of the Packers' history, and it just shouldn't have been.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, but Packers fans can bask in the glory for one night at least. All right, talking about last night's game, in Week 1, the Packers allowed 189 rushing yards to the Chicago Bears, and in Week 2, they held Marshawn Lynch to a modest 41 yards. What's going on with this Jekyll and Hyde performance here, and should they be this good every week?
Well, there were just more RPMs in that front seven last night. They just played with greater speed, greater urgency. In Chicago, it looked like at times they were kind of running through mud trying to chase down Matt Forte. And then last night, now I will say this, Seattle's offensive line, although they protected Wilson fairly well in the passing game, mm-hmm. I don't think that's a very good offensive line for Seattle right now. It's part of their issue. Yeah. And Marshawn Lynch didn't have a whole lot of room to operate. But the Packers did play with an urgency and greater RPMs in the front seven last night, and even coming up from the safety position to make hits with Ha-Ha Clinton-Dix. But B.J. Raji dominated the middle of the line of scrimmage. And, Green Bay was good against the run last night. And pretty assignment sound, with the exception of some third-quarter plays by Russell Wilson. But he'll do that. I mean, he's a pretty athletic read-option quarterback that can do some things that stresses a defense. And I thought Seattle didn't do enough of that if you were looking at it from their perspective.
You mentioned B.J. Raji. I thought it was pretty remarkable that some of these former first-round draft picks on the front seven that maybe some people might describe as underachievers, Raji, Nick Perry, Dayton Jones, I thought these guys all seemed to be contributors last night. Are these guys finally ready to live up to that hype?
Well, you'd hope so. I think Raji is the best of that lot. I think he was poised to be in a very good position a year ago until he got hurt. He just dominated his opposition last night. So, I think Raji is the best of that group. Nick Perry played assignment sound last night, which has been one of the issues, right? You know, he stayed on the outside. He kept the cutback lane for Marshawn Lynch closed, and then was pretty good in also keeping Russell Wilson contained when he did try to get outside, especially in the first half and maybe even the fourth quarter for that matter. You know, Green Bay played well enough defensively to win the game. If you look at the statistics from last night, they're almost dead even. That is a very, very even game with the statistics. The difference is Aaron Rodgers is the best quarterback in the NFL, and the other difference is that the Packers got two turnovers. You know, they forced two huge turnovers in the second half of the game, and that's likely the difference maker. The last one was just to seal the door so we didn't have to have an onside kick. But, you know, the rest of it was on the other turnover that really kind of turned the game.
We're talking to Mike Heller, host of the Mike Heller Show here at Railbird Central on a Monday morning. Mike, Aaron Rodgers took a shot at Russell Wilson in his post-game interview, giving credit to God, saying that guy was a Packers fan last night. As a guy based in Madison, Wisconsin, do you see the perception of Wilson changing at all among the kind of Wisconsin fan base? Because this guy was kind of once viewed as the golden boy in the state of Wisconsin.
Yeah, I think so. I think the perception on campus and for what Russell Wilson did at Wisconsin will never change. But if you end up playing at a high level in a situation in which you become a rival of the team's, of the state's favorite team, the Green Bay Packers, you're going to be viewed differently. And I think Russell Wilson has worn his religion on his sleeve since he was in college, mm-hmm. and that's what he does. But, I know this. I think we all know this about Aaron Rodgers. He hears everything, and he holds everything. He might not always talk about it, but he holds chips, and he holds little motivational tools that are always part of in his quiver.
Yep.
And last night, that was a conversation that goes back to the NFC Championship game when, you know, Russell, as he does in most games, gives credit to God. And Aaron holds little things, and sometimes they're not little. Sometimes they're bigger. So he took a little run at that in a postgame last night. I think we love – I'll speak for me. I love Aaron Rodgers' motivation. He's the best player, in my opinion. He's the best player in the NFL. Mm-hmm. And I love what drives him and motivates him. In a situation like that, I part of me wishes he would have just kept it to himself. But because now today, nationally, that's going to be the storyline.
Yeah.
It's part of the conversation nationally is what Aaron Rodgers said when the game ended. And I kind of wish that wasn't the case. I wish it was more about the game.
Yeah, yeah. It is what it is, I guess. I suppose Aaron Rodgers gets the right to say it after what he does. For all the athletic feats that we see Aaron Rodgers do on the field, tossing two touchdown passes that were absolutely amazing. But I'm wondering, is it just as impressive what he does in the mental side of the game, getting Michael Bennett to jump offside three times and also rushing to get that 12 men on the field call? Is that almost as impressive to you?
Absolutely. Yeah, I was talking about it after the opening game against the Bears. Right now, Aaron Rodgers is at that perfect the symmetry when talent, talent, you begin when you're 22, 23 years old with the most talent you're ever going to have. And that typically decreases, or at least it holds steady and then decreases, mm-hmm. whereas your knowledge of the game, you know, is on an upward trend. Right now, they've met one another. His knowledge of the game, his ability to just play in the moment, the game is slower for him, and he's faster than everybody else mentally on the field. I just think that what he does pre-snap and what he does once the ball is snapped, there's just nobody like him. Wouldn't you have loved to have seen that mobility of Aaron Rodgers in the NFC Championship game last year?
Oh,
You
my
know, when he was
goodness.
playing on one and a half legs. I mean, I think there's no doubt that Green Bay, in my opinion, would have not only won that game, but won the Super Bowl if Rodgers is healthy. Last night, he's not much of a pocket passer. I don't know the numbers on that, how many times he threw from the pocket as opposed to throwing after flushing or sliding out of the pocket. But he is so good when he slides, and he is so good at getting the free play. His percentage on free plays is fantastic. Mm-hmm. I mean, I probably should have a number on this, but I'll leave that to somebody who's more math inclined. But his ability to get that free play, to get somebody to jump, or even the 12th man deal, every time he gets that and takes advantage by going deep, he did it on the 52-yard pass interference last night.
Yep.
That's a huge play in the game. So I would say that maybe three or four plays last night, of the biggest plays in the game, are created by Aaron Rodgers on free play. That's impressive. That's really hard to do. Nobody else does that.
Absolutely. The men protecting Aaron Rodgers here, there was so much attention coming into the game about how Don Barclay would replace Brian Bulaga. But Barclay seemed to hold up pretty well. Are the Packers going to be in okay shape if Bulaga happens to miss the next month or so?
I think they will be. Yeah, I think that's the best defense that they're going to play. Kansas City coming in also has a very aggressive, impactful rush pass defense. You know, they put a lot of pressure on the quarterback. They knock a lot of quarterbacks on their backside.
Mm-hmm.
So next Monday night will be another significant challenge. I kind of maintained from the beginning I thought Green Bay would get to the bye week undefeated. Monday's game a week from tonight might be the biggest challenge to that concept, because Kansas City does play such good defense. I mean, they can really pressure the quarterback. But yeah, the offensive line was very good. Bakhtiari had a couple of moments. But yeah, we were looking at the other side with Barclay, and I don't think we saw much from the other side. And so much of that credit goes to Aaron, because he just flushes so well and feels the pressure and finds a way to get out of there. I think he does it as well as any quarterback. Wilson does it differently. Rodgers does it, I think, the most efficient of any quarterback in the league.
Yeah, he can find guys as easily in the pocket as he can out in the pocket, which is amazing, because guys have to break their routes off so often, which is remarkable. We talked about the injury to Brian Bulaga. We had another injury last night to Eddie Lacy. How comfortable are you with James Starks if he's asked to carry the load in place of Lacy for we still don't know how long he's out.
Well, I think it's just different. Starks, the difference with Lacy is that he wears you down. He's a guy that you don't want to tackle in the third and the fourth quarter. He just runs people over. He's very violent, punishing. Starks is, he's really explosive. And I do think that he gets positive yards in nearly every time he touches the ball. He does know how to get north-south. He sometimes gets in trouble when he goes a little east-west, but he averaged almost 5 yards a carry last night, and other than the ball he put on the turf, he had a really good night with a big workload. He had 20 touches on the ground last night. So, I mean, that's a big workload for a guy that is typically not going to touch the ball maybe but 4 or 5 times a game. He had 4 catches and 20 carries.
Mm-hmm.
So 24 touches in the game last night. That's a big number. And he was really good. Which was surprising, not surprising, I shouldn't say it that way. I think that having Eddie Lacy out of the game was something that Seattle probably saw, and if you'd have said that to him, Eddie's going to go out in the first quarter, they'd be thinking, well, we'll shut down the run then, and they didn't. You know, Packers had 127 yards on the ground. That's a big number.
Yeah. Mike, before we let you go, just personally here, you've kind of been the host, fill-in host of the Dan Patrick Show. I'm just curious, you know, what's that been like and having that big platform and the exposure you've gotten from that?
Gosh, it's really cool. I've been very fortunate to be in a position to do that almost 20 times over the last 18 months or so. And it's a very cool thing. you know, the vast majority of the time on my statewide show, we're obviously talking about Packers and Badgers and Brewers and Bucks, things of the, within the state realm. But there's never a shortage of anything to talk about nationally. So when I have been lucky enough to be in those positions to do that show, the guest lists have been pretty good. And the conversation just switches to what is talkable, controversial, whatever that is, conflict-driven nationally. So lucky to be in a position where I've been able to do that. And hopefully those opportunities continue. And I have only done the TV side of Dan's show twice, but I know that when they're gone and they all take a vacation, that the radio opportunity should be able to continue. And that's been a ton of fun.
Yeah, the guest list is much better. You don't have to have bloggers joining you on the show like you. I'm just
I haven't had to resort to bloggers. When I've been able to have some national guests on there, but you're always on that second list.
Yeah.
Okay, so, you know, you never know.
Okay, sounds good. Mike, thanks so much for taking some time this morning to talk a little Packers football. We appreciate it a lot, and I always appreciate talking with you.
Brian, thank you very much. 2-0, go Packers.
All right, go Pack, go. Thanks a lot, Mike. Mike Heller, host of the Mike Heller Show, heard statewide around Wisconsin on several affiliates. We're glad to have him joining us this Monday morning, and glad to have you, the listener, joining us as well as we continue our conversation about the Green Bay Packers here on our next segment.
Packers news of the day.
The Green Bay Packers win 27-17 over the Seattle Seahawks. It's up to you whether you want to call it retribution, revenge, whatever, for the NFC Championship loss last year. But to kind of guide our discussion here and my two cents on the Packers win, we'll use the Chips report published at 247sports.com. as a roadmap, and your blue chip performers from last night, starting with Aaron Rodgers, and tried to talk about a few things that maybe we didn't talk about already. I thought what was also so good about Aaron Rodgers last night was that he was 9 of 9 in the fourth quarter alone. So when it was crunch time, the Packers had actually fallen behind there early in the second half. And then they get the go-ahead touchdown in the fourth quarter and then just have to hang on from there. That's when Aaron Rodgers was, he was good the whole game. But, I mean, to really just, you know, in crunch time, be able to put up statistics like that, I thought was really, you know, just goes to show how good of a player Aaron Rodgers is. And we said that the mental side of the game, the things he does is so amazing. Getting Michael Bennett to jump offside 3 times. I think they got that, and they went after Richard Sherman this game too. How good was that? The James Jones beats him for the first touchdown of the game. And then they draw 2 penalties on Richard Sherman. I think one was a holding and one was a pass interference, both to Ty Montgomery. So that too adds to the masterful performance from Aaron Rodgers last night and what puts him in the blue chip category and almost puts him in that blue chip category every single game. The other blue chip player, Jayrone Elliott, I never would have expected in a million years that Jayrone Elliott would be in the blue chip category. And so get this, Elliott plays only 10 snaps on the defensive side of the football. And these are statistics, according to Nathan Yonke of ProFootballFocus.com, who will be joining us on Wednesday. Saw his tweet after the game. 10 snaps for Jayrone Elliott on defense, not including special teams. Every single one of them coming in the second half, and Jayrone Elliott makes the most of it. First coming up with the one-handed interception of Russell Wilson, which was a fantastic athletic feat on a screen pass intended for Marshawn Lynch. So to be able to do that, and that really, you know, kind of turned some momentum in the game. And that was huge for the Green Bay Packers. And then, of course, the penultimate play of the game, forcing the fumble, which, as Mike Eller said, it pretty much prevented from the Packers from having to deal with another onside kick. So that alone in itself is huge, too, late in the game. So that was really fun to watch Jayron Elliott really break out, because, you know, for two seasons now, he's kind of been the preseason superstar. And maybe really for the first time, it extended to the regular season here. And I think you're going to start seeing Jayron Elliott play more than 10 snaps. I don't know how you can't have this guy out on the field. You're going to start to see him play more just because the Packers can't afford to have him on the sidelines anymore. I think that's the way it's going. And this game will be the kind of impetus behind that from here on out. I'm not saying he's going to be a starter, but you're going to see Jayron Elliott play more than 10 snaps on defense from here on out. So great to see him really emerge, and what a good guy too, you know, getting that national television exposure after the game. He did the sideline interview on NBC. That it was fun to see him get in the spotlight there. So congratulations to Jayron Elliott. Your red chip performers, one of them, B.J. Raji, who we talked about rather extensively with Mike Heller already. But I think you're seeing B.J. Raji get back to a level we haven't seen from him since about 2011 and maybe even 2010, that you know, famous Packers Super Bowl season there, in which, you know, B.J. Raji had the first and maybe only good season of his career. It was okay the following year, but ever since then, 2012, 2013, 2014, B.J. Raji was not good those times, and maybe a lot of it is getting back to the nose tackle where he's more comfortable. But he really, he was officially credited with two tackles last night, which, you know, modest statistical production, but both tackles for a loss. He flushed Russell Wilson a couple times. He was just collapsing the pocket, just really, you know, showing supreme effort out there, and led the Packers defensive line in snap. He played 42 snaps last night, most of any player on the unit, even more than Mike Daniels. If the Packers can get that out of B.J. Raji week in and week out, that is absolutely huge for the Packers. And I'm telling you, I didn't expect this out of B.J. Raji. I thought he was on the cusp of being cut. I had hypothesized at one point, maybe when LaTroy Guyon comes back, B.J. I didn't guarantee it by any means, but I hypothesized it could happen, and you know, it's not happening. I was wrong. More than willing to admit that, and B.J. Raji is proving his doubters wrong, including me. But I mean, this is fantastic to see him, and especially these guys who we've been calling underachievers, Nick Perry and Dayton Jones. Those guys really stepped up last night. Maybe not quite as good as B.J. Raji, but still contributing in a positive fashion. Yeah, you know, Nick Perry got beat a time or two on the read option, and he wasn't alone. Mike Neal did, and Andy Malumba did, and even Julius Peppers did. So that's tough to defend when you've got a guy like Russell Wilson running the read option. But you know, by and large, there were a couple times where Nick Perry made some nice tackles that prevented long gains that could have been, you know, going for touchdowns potentially, but those guys all stepping up. But B.J. Raji beat the most out of anyone and being a red chip performer. The other red chip went to the Packers receiving core at large, and no one really stood out head and shoulders above the rest. But it was just a good, positive performance from almost every receiver in the Packers offense. And this is almost everybody catching passes, not just limited to the wide receivers. And maybe that's a place to start. Richard Rodgers, the tight end, scoring not only the go-ahead touchdown, but then the ensuing two-point conversion. and to do it while the Seahawks middle linebacker Bobby Wagner was draped over him, called for pass interference. Really amazing what Richard Rodgers is doing out there. Aaron Rodgers trusts him. He, I think, had four receptions on the night. Just really, really good job by Richard Rodgers. Really just being that kind of safety outlet for Aaron Rodgers last night and really stepping up. The wide receivers, Eddie Lacy, I kind of, you know, likened him during the game last night on social media to a boxer. Randall Cobb was the jabs to the midsection. They just kept going after him on these short little completions. He led the team in receptions with 8, led the team in yardage with 116, never found the end zone. But he's what softened up the midsection of that Seahawks defense. And then the guys, you know, everybody contributed in their small way. James Jones catches the first touchdown of the game, beating Richard Sherman. And then rookie Ty Montgomery kind of emerging for the first time. He saw his role grow in the absence of Devontae Adams, who, you know, exited for a while. He did come back, but Ty Montgomery really starts playing, and he looks very good. He was modest, you know, 4 receptions, but included in those 4 was a big third down conversion in the fourth quarter. That was huge. And there was another pass on him lining up, coming out of the backfield. And if he can continue to provide that, kind of like Randall Cobb does from time to time, that's big. And then again, Ty Montgomery drawing the 2 penalties on Richard Sherman as well. Everything Ty Montgomery did last night was just, you know, so good, and so good to see him emerge and be an option. Credit Devontae Adams for gritting out a return to the field after exiting with an ankle injury. He wasn't the same player in the second half as he was in the first half, but good. He avoids major injury. We'll see how long he's limited, but at least he avoided anything serious. Your cow chip players. I thought David Bakhtiari was one of them, and it was a disappointment to see how much pressure he gave up. Left tackles are going to get beat from time to time. You know, you can't expect these guys to pitch shutouts for an entire season. David Bakhtiari gave up a little bit more than you were probably comfortable with last night. So that was a little bit tough, and you know, keeping Aaron Rodgers on the run, which, you know, as we've seen, maybe isn't necessarily a bad thing, but you don't want to expose Aaron Rodgers to injury either, though, and you know, throw in a false start penalty. That David Bakhtiari's got to know better. They kind of caught Michael Bennett just jumping a little bit, but it wasn't enough to get an offsides call. I don't think, you know, he just kind of lurched out of his stance a little bit, and then Bakhtiari jumps, and you just got to hold your ground on that. So he could definitely play better. And the other one went to Casey Hayward, who gave up several receptions on the night, including the touchdown pass to Fred Jackson, about a 5-yarder. Gave up another long one to Doug Baldwin. I think that was 30-some yards when the Seahawks, I believe, had a third down in the first quarter of the game. And maybe part of that was due to you saw Morgan Burnett returned after missing the season opener, and it kind of had a domino effect because Morgan Burnett was back. Micah Hyde was back into his role as kind of the slot cornerback, and that had Casey Hayward playing on the perimeter more often. And I think Casey Hayward is less comfortable out on the perimeter than he is in the slot. And he got beat in the slot too. It just wasn't a great night for Casey Hayward last night. Again, that could have been worse. Wasn't terrible. But if you're looking for players who maybe didn't have the greatest game, I'd count Casey Hayward among them. So those are your cow chip performances. And, you know, maybe some honorary chips. Don Barclay's deserving one of one. He I know he got a very poor ProFootballFocus.com grade because of the pressure he allowed, albeit not giving up a sack. But I think considering all the circumstances, considering he's filling in on short notice for Brian Bulaga, considering he's coming off the ACL last season, I think if Don Barclay can just stay in front of his defender, even if he gets pushed back, even if he allows a little pressure, the Packers can live with that. They can live with that while they wait for Brian Bulaga to come back. And another honorary chip to Mason Crosby, who connects on four field goals last night, including one from 50-plus yards, and in the process becomes the Packers franchise all-time leading scorer, surpassing Ryan Longwell. So congratulations to Mason Crosby, who might, you know, he could end up, you know, obliterating the Packers scoring record if he ends up signing another contract extension. And the way he's played the past, you know, going on, you know, three seasons now, he's very much, you know, on top of his game and not looking like he's on the downslide anytime soon. So there you go. And continuing with the next segment.
The day ahead.
In the world of the Green Bay Packers, I suppose what we're waiting to hear here on Monday is an update on Eddie Lacy, first and foremost. We heard from Adam Schefter of ESPN tweeted during the game last night that the x-rays were negative on Eddie Lacy, which is good. Negative is a good thing when it comes to x-rays, but they still don't know how long he's going to be out. It looked awkward when Eddie Lacy kind of got his you know, leg caught in a weird position as he was making a cut, and the leg was going in one direction, his body was going in another. It didn't look the worst ever. Didn't see anything snapping, which is good. Now it's just a matter of how long will he be out. I suppose you can kind of look at the silver lining here in that next week the Packers play on Monday Night Football, so Eddie Lacy gets an extra day to rest. Whether that'll be enough, I have no clue right now, and that's what we're waiting here today to find out. Mike McCarthy will speak Monday afternoon, his press conference. I'm not even sure the exact time off the top of my head, probably somewhere around the 4 o'clock hour. It's always streamed online at Packers.com if you're interested. And I'm sure that'll be one of the first questions asked, is how's Eddie Lacy? So waiting to hear that. And it's Packers talk show circuit tonight, all sorts of Packers talk shows from the fifth quarter to Inside the Huddle. I'll be rounding it up in the Packers calendar at 247sports.com later today, later this morning. If you're interested, I'll try to find out who the guests are, as I do all the time in our daily Packers calendar post. But that's it, folks. Enjoy it. Enjoy your Victory Monday. Enjoy the redemption, the revenge, whatever you want to call it for the NFC Championship game. But most importantly, the Packers are 2-0, looking like they're one of the best teams in the NFL at this young point in the season. And that can't be understated. And really, on top of it all, how about this? Packers, basically, you might as well say they're three games up on the Seattle Seahawks in terms of, you know, looking for home field advantage throughout the playoffs. Because, you know, Packers 2-0, Seahawks 0-2, but now you have the head-to-head tiebreaker. So that's huge. And there's that to feel good about as well. So enjoy it, folks. We'll be back again on Wednesday. Our usual Wednesday guest, Nathan Jahnke of ProFootballFocus.com. We'll see you then, 8:30 a.m. Central Time, the live edition of the show, podcasted and on demand later in the day, every Monday, Wednesday, Friday. My call to action, if you've not done so already, please do so. The one small thing we ask, give us a rating on iTunes. The show is free of charge, no subscription, no paywall. It's the one small thing we'd like out of our audience, if you could, and give us a comment too. We'll see you, folks. Like I said, enjoy your Monday. I'll leave you today with a song called Song in My Head by String Cheese Incident on Psy Fidelity Records. Go Pack Go.